This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard, given on the 7th of December, 1961. The title of this lecture is Expectancy of 3D. This tape is 92 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Is there a heater on there?
No.
How are you today?
Good.
Still getting in practice for the Washington Congress. Now, what's the date? Seventh?
Seventh.
Seventh. All right. And I think you just had a sheet handed out here. Well, now you've had an experimental sheet handed to you. There have never been any runs on this sheet. It is simply handed to you as a trick pattern of command structure. It has to be tested. Maybe one or two of you will be run on it. But there's nothing very deadly about it. But let me point out to you here that you have an opportunity to clear with the PC problem, situation, difficulty, confusion, mess, trouble, whatever it is, and what he considers the solution is. Solved, made okay, cured, finished, ended, that's thatted. Or whatever he considers the thing is, you see? And then you've got a 30 command, which is 15 brackets. 30 commands with 15 brackets, which is pretty good because it covers just about everything and so on. Now, you'll find that some PCs will hang up a little bit if you don't have others in the run and so forth. This is a very comprehensive coverage of this particular thing. I would say offhand that if you could run it with confusion, it probably would run faster than with problem on quite a few people. But this gives you an opportunity to clear it all up. Let me point out to you, this is no change. There isn't any change here. This just gives you, this is all possible elements that you could run on 3D commands with all effective brackets. There's even U and U in there. There's a bracket in there. Tell me a problem you have had with you. That's for those people amongst us who have valences. All right. Well, that's just a tricky command sheet. I hand it out to you more or less for your curiosity more than anything else. And yet we will run it and probably do something with it, but possibly it'll be refined before it is generally issued. I thought you might like to be on the upper end of the assembly line for a moment. Okay? Well, I've practiced enough for the Washington Congress, so I'll sit down. This is 7 deck, still a nautical month, and we have the St. Hill special briefing course, and we have some people that look wonderful and some people that look horrible. I'm going to make to you just a few random comments today. I haven't really very much talked to you about. You're all doing perfectly. There's no possible improvement that could be made either on your cases or your auditing. You recognize that. Except in a few instances. A few instances your auditing could be improved, and in a few instances your cases could be improved, you see. But on the whole, you're all perfect, except you. All right. You're not getting sitting in the way down in the bull pit, you might say, with a PC. You're not getting a broad view of the working of 3D, and I might tell you something about this. You're getting a one PC view of it and your coffee shop comments. And that's a little different. So what are the expectancies of the thing? And I'd better give you some idea of the expectancies of what would happen with a PC on 3D. And I'll just take one through from start, okay? All right, these are broad expectancies, and these expectancies have been routinely borne out. When these are not borne out, it's nothing. The assessment is wrong or something is goofy. When you don't run into the phenomena which I'm going to list to you here, why something is wrong. All right. This person staggers in, see, and hits both sides of the door and sits down to get audited. And we put him on the E-meter and we say, what did you have to eat for breakfast? And he says, what breakfast? And you say, this morning. He says, what this morning? That sort of thing. Well, he is not in a position to be audited with an assessment on 3D. You wouldn't assess that person. You ask this person various questions about life in general, and the person seems to have a tremendous amount of worry in present time. I've already told you that present time, an elephant stepping on your toe here and now, even your little toe, is far more important to you than an elephant who squashed your whole body a few million years ago. You recognize that thing. A peanut, which you are not able to procure right now, is far more important than an empire, which you failed to secure several trillennia ago. Let me point this out to you. The havingness, the further it goes back on the track, why, the more unlikely it seems. And the importances of a case must be concentrated to some degree, at least over this lifetime, and can't be concentrated in the last 3 minutes of life. Now, if you find a case that the rudiments are very hard to keep in on, you're finding a person whose life is a constant problem. Unless you can do something for this, it isn't likely you will ever get his attention off this constant immediacy onto what might have caused the immediacy. He's not so much interested in what caused him to go broke. He's interested in the fact that he hasn't got a sou. Well, that he hasn't got a sou is what's worrying him, and that the causes of his decline and going broke are of the least possible interest to him. The fact of the matter is, he's broke, and this is all he can concentrate on, you see. There he sits, a mental bankrupt, and he hasn't any margin on which to operate at all. In other words, his mind cannot play even easily over this lifetime. You see, he sits there and he said, well, when I go home, this is going to happen, and when I come back, this is going to happen, and then I go and so on. I wonder what I'm going to do, and it's terrible, and isn't life horrible? Right here and now. Well, you try to get him a split instant off of now, and of course, he has to at least have the idea of going then somewhat before you can get an assessment, even though the assessment is right here and now. You understand that? He doesn't, however, appreciate that the assessment is in here and now. He would much more easily have you take the elephant off his little toe than to remove the empire off of his back. You see, because he's not very aware of this empire that's off on his back. But he sure is aware of that elephant that's stepping on his toe. He's very aware of that. So this person is not in an assessable state because his concentration is, on the auditors. This fellow going to do me, and isn't he going to do me? And I don't know. I was audited by somebody out in California one time. That's enough for anybody. God, isn't that terrible? And is he going to fix me up, or isn't he? Or is he really? Or is he just in it for the money? Or is there anything to Scientology? We don't know. There is anything. And then automaticity. And he's saying, well, I don't know whether I'll go home or not, or whether I got any money in car fare, or whether I should take the bus, or whether I should take the car. I wonder about it. Buy a car. Should I eat breakfast? Should I have steak for dinner? Should I know it's very expensive, and I shouldn't have steak for dinner because I might have better have beans for dinner. So forth. I wonder what they'll think if I do have beans for dinner. I wonder if they'll feed the same person. And that's just somebody with the rudiments out. Well, the process of getting rudiments in can be begun at that point. And if you regard it no more than just getting the rudiments in, you'll see what we're talking about, because it may take 75 hours to get the rudiments in. All right? From that point of natter-natter, present time, elephant on my toe, don't know what I'm going to do, from that point, for the next 75 hours, he gradually gets back to a point where he can look at this lifetime, where he can sit in the auditing room, where he can look at the auditor and keep his mouth shut while you're reading a list to him. Now, in other words, you're into a condition here where the individual can be fairly relaxed in the session, and therefore you can get the information that you want for an assessment. So that is the usual condition of a person as he moves into the perimeter of auditing. In other words, he doesn't know, and it's this way, and then gradually, over a period of time, particularly if you're doing something very effective like sect checking, problems intensive, racking around one way or the other, curing up his bad memory, anything you can think of that makes him easier, gets the rudiments in, gets some of his overts off, gets him into communication with the auditor. During that whole period of time, you should be getting a more and more responsive meter. Now, if you read it always that the meter action should be loosening up, you're going to make a mistake. Because a meter action can get looser and tighter and so forth, somewhat disassociated from the response of the PC's mind on the meter. There's a difference there. PC comes in feeling very relaxed and physically, and feels very relaxed physically, and actually does get a fairly decent dial drop. See? Feels pretty good. Well, actually, it doesn't really not follow, and it doesn't really follow that his mental response to your questions is better. It doesn't immediately follow. The response of the meter to the question is not necessarily independent of this other, but it is itself. It is itself. How much is the person reacting? Now, let's give you an idea. I might just been auditing this person, and I straighten them up, and they feel fairly comfortable, and they've got a dial drop on the can squeeze, you see. And the following morning, an HPA student from a central organization fumbles with a meter and asks him a few questions and so on. He'll get a dial drop. He won't get any response. You get the difference? He'll still get the dial drop. But he says, this is different than what happened to me yesterday. And he's, of course, got a present time problem. He says, I don't know, and I'm not sure, and what is this all about? And he's thinking about this, and the meter response to the auditor is the factor there, which doesn't necessarily coordinate with the drop of the can squeeze. Do you follow that? In other words, your meter might be responding if somebody were making it respond, or if the PC accepted who was making it respond. Now, your job in the first 75 hours is getting the PC to accept the meter responding. He accepts your communication. He feels that it's better. It's all right to be audited by him. Now, this is a hard bridge for an auditor to cover during that particular period, and it's something that you should put your mind to. This is something that you should know as an auditor. Yes, you can goof up. Yes, you can make mistakes. But you're auditing, even the worst auditor in this unit at the present moment, perhaps one or two exceptions, is better than most of the auditors in, practically all the auditors in 1954. See, here's a difference of auditing here. We can't go out on the basis entirely that it is quality of auditing. Let us assume that the auditor does a halfway interested, technically correct job on the PC. All right, now let's just take auditor A, who is doing a halfway interested, technically correct, more or less, job on the PC, you see? He's not doing a perfect job, he's not doing an imperfect job. All right, we have him in rotation audit 15 PCs taken from different strata. This is the same auditor. And then without allowing those PCs, without allowing auditor A to do any advertising, or without allowing him to tell them how he is a good auditor or any propagandizing at all, we take these PCs, and without permitting them to talk together, we get each one's opinion of this auditor. We're going to get 15 different qualities. We're going to get 15 different opinions of the same auditor. And if these people are unaudited people, by and large, you're going to get 15 bank expressions to something that had nothing to do with the auditor. Auditor was wearing a yellow dress. All right, very good. PC number one likes yellow, so it's a good auditor. PC number two doesn't like yellow, so it must be a bad auditor. And it'll be something as oddball as that. During the first 75 hours, you should actually not take to heart any opinion the PC has of your auditing. You should not take it to heart at all, because it has nothing to do with observation. Nothing to do with it at all. It's just his various reactivities reacting. And I've noticed you, as auditors, worrying far too much about what the PC thought of you in the early stages of your auditing of the PC. Well, the reason you're worried about it is because your rudiments aren't in. Well, your rudiments wouldn't be in. It wouldn't matter what you did, or if you changed the color of your hair and wore a funny nose, you'd have the same opinion exactly on the part of the PC if you're audited. And if the PC... Well, let me give you a better example. Did any of you ever have your parents get acquainted with you? No, you see. Well, this had very little to do with you, but it had a great deal to do with your parents' ability to observe. They didn't observe very deeply, and so they didn't know you very well. That's about the way that adds up. The PC's ability to observe during that first 75 hours of getting straightened up is negligible. His powers of obnosis stink. He could go down the street and you ask him, I'm not talking now about a strange off-color neurotic personality. I am talking about homo sap, average issue, school tie, and the lot. And we have him walk down a street one block and then ask him at the end of the block, what have we just seen? And you would be amazed. You have either seen nothing, or you have seen something else, or the people you have passed have been entirely different people. It is obnosis, the power of observing the obvious, the ability to observe the obvious. It just is not present. So you actually should not feel bad or be influenced by this preclear's opinion of you at all, up until the time you've got 3D levels about three-quarters of the way run. Because, you see, he can't observe. This is something you should keep in mind. It's quite important. Because I've seen a PC who was sort of bad off curse and swear at one of the finest, smoothest auditing jobs I've ever seen. And I've seen a PC who was apparently in fairly good condition and so forth, totally satisfied with one of the lousiest auditing jobs I've ever punished to witness. And PC had nothing to do with this. So what you do, you see, is you be satisfied with yourself. You see, am I turning in a representative auditing job? My interest in the case adequate? And is my technical accuracy as I work with this case, is that adequate? Am I turning in a representative auditing job? Is my technical skill there, and that's it. Now, if you have that confidence, you'll never get rocked. Otherwise, you will continue to get rocked always, because your job could be utterly perfect and you would still get your eyes clawed out by some PCs, and your job could be horrible and you would still be kissed on both cheeks by other PCs. Oh, my auditor's a wonderful auditor. She gives me such good advice between the auditing commands. Get pretty wild, couldn't it? So it's actually up to you to hold and maintain a standard of auditing. You have to know what does a session look like, and what should it look like, and then just hold that standard, that's all. As best you can, hold the standard. Just turn in a good job of work on the thing. One that you won't be ashamed of, and one that you don't think I'd be ashamed of. And you'll have it made, you see. That is what counts. It is your belief in your auditing job. Now that belief, of course, can be enormously influenced by the PC, providing you are not sure whether or not you're turning in a technically perfect auditing job. As soon as you become sure of that, no PC in the world could shake you. It's only when you are doubtful about what you can do, doubtful about your skill, and doubtful about your technical accuracy, that you can be shaken. Now, you just go ahead and hold a standard. That's very easy to do, and so on, because the first long run here is not going to be done before a reliable judge, the PC. He is not a reliable judge. In the first place, he's even further introverted during a session than he would normally be. So he is, frankly, less capable of observing because you're trying to make him observe himself. So his observation of you, of course, is very poor. So don't pay any attention to that. Do you hear me on this? I'd practically save your bacon someday. Maybe if I told some auditor this earlier, why, maybe we'd had a few auditors that wouldn't feel so bad about some of their failures or something like that. Somebody had ever told me that, I know I wouldn't feel so bad about some of mine. So this is the way it goes. Because that first 75 hours, if your technical accuracy is good and if you're doing the things and using the tools the way you should, remember those tools are well put together. Don't think those tools aren't. You're going to see a little change in beginning and end rudiments adapted to security checking or adapted to 3D. You see, you're going to see a little variation between those two model sessions, but the bulk and body of model session is unaltered. These things are not altered. Your security checks, they're very set. Your problems intensity, that's very well set. The packaged processes which you have, they're very well set. These things are not variables, and you're not dealing with variables. I could give you a table, and I will try to compile you a table of what to do in almost any, with any type of PC. Very simple table, using exactly the tools you know how to use. But those first 75 hours, well, you just do them. Now we get up to a point where the PC has needle response. I don't say that it takes 75 hours, and I don't say that you graduated from St. Hill and really knowing your stuff will not be able to get enough altitude over some PC who is sitting there kind of wide-eyed and overwhelmed anyhow. And you say, give me your terminal. Bang, you got it. You see, I mean. Crash, the meter goes. You get tremendous meter reads, you see, because you got altitude. Don't count on other auditors you train having the same altitude. Don't make the mistake that I continue to make. Please profit by my mistake. I make this mistake continually. I can set a PC down. I know my business. I have altitude with the PC. Even when I don't have altitude with the PC and know my business, I can get command value over the PC very rapidly. I can really make a meter read. You really make it read. All right, so then I expect you to do the same thing. That's not a proper thing for me to do. But over the years, I finally learned this fact. One, that I don't know what a process will do until it is done out of my sight. See, I don't know what a process will do. And the other one is that I have every reason to expect comparable level auditing from everybody who audits. Well, you thought I was going to say the reverse, didn't you? No, you can audit like that because I found out I audit the same way you audit, except I just know what I'm doing and you don't know what you're doing. And that unconfidence that you sometimes display at the crucial points on the thing is your only fault. Now all you've got to do is get that confidence and you've got it made. I'm not saying then that a PC, raw meat, could not be assessed on 3D. You've got tremendous altitude with this PC and you sort of overwhelm him and you hold him like a frozen halibut in session and he responds and he hasn't any choice. I'm not saying you cannot do this. At the same time, I'm not advising you to do it. Not that you couldn't get it, not that it wouldn't be fine, not that the PC wouldn't get tremendous gains, not for those reasons, but because you're not going to get that even a run of it. The bulk of the PCs, which you sit down across from, will not be in any shape to audit, and you'll be wasting your time on Class 2 skills when you should be assessing. That's all. So that you should have enough nerve, either yourself to set up somebody you care about a great deal as a PC, to set them up perfectly for assessment and get the rudiments in, or turn them over to somebody to be set up one way or the other so that you can assess them. That's what you ought to be doing. All right. Now, what happens at this point of assessment? Well, you've got a needle response. Now, don't expect the needle response to stay constantly good. You've got these rudiments in, sort of on the basis of mounting a couple of toothpicks on the side of the Empire State Building, you see. And there's a high wind, and toothpicks are frail, and they're liable to fall off at any minute. Don't expect, because you have invested 75 hours, that they will stay in. All you've done is guarantee that you can get them in. That's all you've guaranteed with all of this. Actually, the PC will feel better, he'll live a better life, he'll think things are wonderful, if you've actually done something to change his way of existence, he'll think this is fine, he'll have more confidence in you, these are all factors, he'll think these are gains. You, under your future experience, will learn these aren't gains at all, they don't amount to a hill of beans. But they amount to something to the PC, they're more than the PC could get anywhere else from anybody else. All right, and you've just brought him up to a point where you can get the rudiments in. Well, that's about all you could say. You brought him up to a point where at the beginning of session, you have some guarantee that you can get the rudiments in and that they will stay in probably, maybe, throughout the session. Probably, I guess. Maybe. But it's no more positive than that. Now, you couldn't have gotten the rudiments in on him 75 hours before. So that's the single gain that you can expect to have made, that you can get the rudiments in on the PC after the PC has been well prepared. It isn't now that the rudiments will stay in on the PC, they won't. But they will be much, much better, much easier to keep in. You won't find yourself coming into session and having to take up 2 hours of the session with a present time problem. See, you can get the rudiment in as a rudiment. You've got him to a position now where you can call, he tells you he has a present time problem, and then you say, well, what's the prior confusion to it? Check it a little bit, and it blows, and you can get on with the session. You understand? But every few sessions, you may find yourself confronted with some upheaval in his life, which requires that you spend a whole session putting him in some kind of shape. Every now and then, even though he's been prepared, you've just given yourself the fact that ordinarily you could get the rudiments in. That's all you've done after all that period of time. All right. Now, we don't care whether the PC feels much better, whether he thinks Scientology is wonderful, or whether he thinks it's now horrible. We care nothing about his opinion. We just hope that he is in a bit better communication with the auditor. That is all we hope for. This PC is going to keep telling you constantly, well, you know my left eye still twitches? My left eye still twitches. You know, when you ran that problems intensive, it didn't do my left eye a bit of good. You can kind of touch the head of the arm so it'll play the next groove. But that's about all you can do about it. Because I can tell you frankly, his left eye twitching is buried in the middle of some kind of a wild goals problem situation that you couldn't have got to with an oil well rig, you see. So pat him on the back and say, that's fine. They come in and they tell you, it is so wonderful, I feel so free, I feel so marvelous. You know, my chest no longer hurts. All these years, my chest has been hurting, and my chest has hurt very much, and it's marvelous what you've done for me. I'm so happy about the whole thing. You say, thank you very much, and get on with the game, because you know very well his chest is going to turn on in full before it turns off again. You frankly haven't, done more than key a few things out. All right, that's fine. If you expect to do anything horrendous for him, you see, in 5 hours of security checking and so forth, disabuse yourself of the idea. You're not. Whether he's happier or unhappier, we couldn't care less. It's just whether or not we have to do that 5 hours of security checking while we're assessing, or do that 5 hours of security checking before we start assessing. And it's always smarter to do it before we start assessing. That's all there is to that. All right, so we get him into assessment. Now, there's time been spent on this PC. This PC is in pretty good condition. Sleeps almost every now and then, you know. Sleep is much better now. sleep on the job all day or something like that. And he's eating. He's eating now. He's graduated from eating only nuts to being able to eat bread and nuts. You see, all these great gains. You pay no attention to these things at all. But he's got all these things. He's all straight. Everything is nice. Life is going to continue out now at a high climb, and everything is going to be wonderful. And then you start assessing. Well, during the goals, he's very, very interested, and everything is fine. During a goals run, a PC is very interested. Unless you start goofing and losing his goal, invalidating it, and so forth, he'll get upset. But even then, you can bring his interest back. It's marvelous. Their interest is right in there with goals, and they go right on with this very nicely. And they just do fine under a goals assessment. Nobody's ever happier than a PC when he finally finds his goal, and that's quite understandable, because he's been looking for this thing for a long time. If anybody had come up to him 3 or 4 years before and say, "What do you intend to do in life?" it would have thrown him in the awfulest confusion he'd ever heard of. And now he can say to them, "What do I intend to do in life? I intend to knock the tops off buildings," or whatever goal he found on the PC. See? That's fine, see? All right, but he feels good about this. I'm not making light of that point, because that is a tremendous point. He feels fine about this. Now, the reason Routine 3 is so attractive, and why you're going to find people backsliding and trying to do Routine 3, is just this. You can find a terminal, and the PC is very happy to find his terminal. So now he's got his goal and he's got his terminal. You can also run this terminal, too, and it makes the PC happy to have it run. That's all dandy. That route, he'll stay happy. The other route that you're going to follow, he's not going to stay happy. So you just make up your mind to it. Now, he's very happy, and he found his goal, and he was so happy to find his goal. And he's very cheerful, and he's got this big gains of now he can sleep all day on the job, and he never could sleep a wink before. And he now eats bread and nuts, and he only used to eat nuts. Now, he got all those big, tremendous forward strides in life. On your very next action, you're liable to lose all of them. He's liable to backslide on any one of them. Because it's something like you getting in with a stick and stirring it up. Now, the PC will stay with it. But your technical accuracy and the rapidity with which you do it measures how well that PC will stay with it. Well, I don't care what part of 3D you find next. You can't find the terminal because you haven't got the modifier. You could find the modifier next, as in 3A. That's a hell of a fight, trying to find a modifier when you've got no op term or anything of the sort, but it keeps the PC a bit happier. The PC really does not get terribly unhappy. You're still fighting on his side, you see, when you find the modifier. Oh, I'm afraid it's a little bit better, however, to just run down a 3D exactly the way you're doing a 3D. You look for the opposition terminal. Well, no telling what you'll find. You may find the guy's terminal, but you might not have found his goal in the first place. That might be the opposition goal. This thing is liable to go all topsy-turvy before you get through. The point is, have it right. That's the main point. Don't have the PC happy about it. Have the assessment right. And if your goal is to make the PC happy while you're assessing, you're being very foolish. You should keep the rudiments in while you're assessing. And the devil with whether the PC likes it or doesn't like it, you've got to have enough ascendancy to make him sit still while you get the rudiments in and while you find the next item. And this PC's going to go over the roller coasters. The process of finding the op terminal. Well, you're asking the fellow to confront an enemy he has never confronted. He just has never confronted this as an enemy. He's never even identified the enemy. It may be his best friend. You might even be it. Who knows? Who knows what this op term is going to be? The thing to do is get it before he has a chance to wake up and inspect it. That's always fastest. In other words, let's get the thing and write it down, and 3 days later on the comm lag he says, "What do you know? Opposition terminal, a building." He You know, I'm in them all the time. You know, I don't care. Just find it. You can find it before he finds out about it. If you do that slippily, you'll get it for sure and get it very rapidly and easily. I'm not saying to be covert about it, because you can get it head on too with his full cooperation or without it. All right. Getting his opposition terminal is going to upset him because you're going to turn on the winds of space. He's going to feel that backflow. He's going to feel that he is opposed. He is going to feel that you are no longer really his friend. And if at that stage of the game he's got overts on you that you haven't pulled, my God, you can't hold him in session worth two nickels and a collar button, don't you say? He's just not capable of sitting there. Well, after you're sitting there chanting at him when you're doing the assessment list, he's a cop, and you're saying robbers, thieves, murderers, so forth, and you're going on over every enemy the cop has. Very easy for him to associate you with a deadly enemy at that point. See, if your rudiments are out, he will, too. Why? You obviously are connected with it because you're saying these things. These are dirty words to him, really. PCs will get some of the most remarkable actions on having assessment lists read back to them again, or getting them checked out. One has even informed a checker that he shouldn't use such dirty words. The most remarkable reactions occur. Well, don't expect them to be sensible reactions, because you're dealing with the bottom rung of his aberration. He may be a nice guy and sensible at all times except when being assessed. And then while he's being assessed, of course, you're playing around with and stirring up all of his worst, meanest, most viciousest selves. Now, doing an assessment is sort of like taking a pomegranate apart. When you first looked at the PC, these things were not separate. These were all identified. And by assessing them, you separate them. Don't think that this separate item was sitting there separately. No, it is the piece of glue to which all other pomegranate seeds are stuck. That's quite a trick, because it might be any of the pomegranate seeds, you see. Might be any of them, but in actual fact, it's just one of them holding the rest of them together. And everything will come off except the last seed, and that's the glue. Only that isn't part of the pomegranate, that's the bank. You've now got your hands on the bank, and the rest of this that you were pulling off of the thing, you have simply been causing the PC to differentiate. So the case is coming apart in your hands while you're assessing. So therefore, if you do a crude job of assessment, it is very comparable to doing a very bad job of auditing. You see, if you aren't handling the assessment well and pulling this pomegranate to pieces rapidly, or skidding the onion, or whatever you want to compare it to, you're doing a kind of a slow, painful auditing job on the fellow, because it's really auditing. It really isn't searching. You see, you're pulling those seeds off one after the other and so forth, and you may pull out the center seed and put the whole pomegranate over here on the right and say, we're through with that, and you will do that often. That's no great blunder. You've missed it. After this, you keep, all of a sudden, there's nothing sitting on the table in front of you at all. What happened to the pomegranate? It's gone. Now we have to get back and get the original list. That's why you always preserve original list, because it might have the one piece of glue that was holding this thing together on it. There's only one. And there it is. So you've got to have that. And in taking this apart, the PC gets a tremendous feeling of relief when you finally find the one piece that was holding the rest of it to pieces, and you identify it. Now, he doesn't have to agree with it at all. And in a lot of the cases, he won't verbally agree with you. He won't verbally agree with you. He will say, well, that couldn't be it, and I just gave you that in the first place. I was actually just throwing a red herring, so and so on. Because a PC can always be counted on to do himself in if you re-stimulate his opposition terminal, because that's what he's trying to do in. And he will do in what you will find if he's been trying to do it in life. Yeah, after you've found it, he will try to do it in. This you can count on in a large number of PCs. After you found it, he then explains to himself how it couldn't be it and you couldn't be it. See, he will do this. This is in some number of cases. The thing which you will see most generally is the person will be just, well, of course, yes, that's it. Well, of course, yes, that's it. Oh, it couldn't be it. Well, I sure doubt that. Yeah, well, that's it. Of course, that's the one. I really realize that. That's just exactly what I've been doing. It's just exactly. I don't know how you found that thing. Don't know how you found that thing. Couldn't be right. He's liable to be of some kind of a reversible frame of mind here very easily. So you don't pay too much attention to that. All right, you go and find the opposition goal. Now, this is cruelty beyond cruelty. Having turned on the winds of space on the bird where the opposition terminal, you're now going to chant opposition goals at him. Well, at this PC, we're very touchy. Of course, it might be a smarter thing to find the modifier before you found the opposition goal. It doesn't matter what sequence you find the remaining items in, but this is going to turn on more winds of space. But also, it's going to make things much better when you finally have it. So it's sort of a choice at that point. And then when you finally get it, he feels better, he feels worse, he feels better, but in general feels better. Now, you're going to find his modifier, and of course he doesn't believe that, although he says that's what I do, all right. That's what he does. They had tendency to accept their modifier pretty well, except if it's terribly discreditable and they have given you a terrible time finding it. And if they've given you an awful time finding it, of course they got overts on their own modifier. And they got overts on you now, and they could liable to get all balled up this way. Well, you go across now, having found the goal plus modifier, knowing what it's against, you can find the G plus M by simply getting the opposition. What would oppose the opposition terminal? That's easy, isn't it? Or what would oppose the opposition goal? See, you could take it from there. Or you could just take the goal plus modifier and who and what. There are many ways you can assess this thing. If you wanted to be sure, you would assess it several ways and find out how many parts you have. And then check the parts out and you'll find some of them are null. So you could get more parts, apparently. For instance, if you got the G plus M, the goal plus modifier terminal. You just got a list of these things, you assessed them, and you got a G plus N, you don't like it. You don't think this is quite right, or you just want to be sure, or for some reason like that. You could turn around now, and you could get who or what would oppose opposition terminal. Same assessment, isn't it? But who or what would oppose, you get another list, and you find out nothing occurs on this list that occurred on your G plus M list. Where are we going now? Well, that's fine. Assess it out and write it down and don't worry about it too much, but try to find some new ways to find parts. You see? See if you haven't got some excess baggage here someplace. Find the opposition actual goal. The actual opposition goal, which isn't the opposing goal at all. It's what the opposition as a person would do, person or being would do, find that, find this and find that. Well, the aspect of the PC while you're doing all this sort of thing is because you don't seem too confident because you're finding two or three additional parts or you're trying to sum this up or add this up and he, of course, is withholding like mad on these things and all of this is an upset aspect. And all these beautiful gains are allowed to just blow up in smoke through that period. Somatics turn back on again, the PC becomes apathetic, the PC becomes very upset, the PC becomes this, the PC becomes that. The only thing you should worry about is when the PC becomes something so they won't have a session. That's the only thing you should worry about. But those beautiful gains might be all wiped out right on up to the time when you've got a proven up, settled assessment. Just before that assessment is finished, you can expect this PC to be an absolute blank. The blank doesn't mean he's blank. It means a dirty word. PCs before a 3D assessment is finished can be expected to be bitchy or upset or unsettled and worse off. They don't like it. They're in a terrible confusion. You've thrown them into the midst of tremendous numbers of parts and haven't found the parts that fit. And so they react to this confusion. And they are very, very upset. And there may be no worse period in their whole processing time in any processing session than they go through 24 hours a day during a 3D assessment. They do not look good or sound good when they're going through the ends run of a 3D assessment. Go, fine. Opposition terminal? Well, all right. Opposition go, all right. Modify, well, we're not quite sure by now. And by the time we get down to finding the terminal, oh, God. Life is too horrible. They're liable to become very dramatic. They're liable to become much more dramatizing. Anything that they would naturally do by reason of their valence, they now do twice as hard. Not commit crimes, but they're liable to be very, very hard to get along with during that particular period. I've noticed this as a recurring phenomenon. Now, just before a 3D is finished up, God help everybody. So that's not necessarily a beautiful vista. And all of a sudden you finish it all up and they say, of course, and if it's absolutely right, they relax. And some of these gains we had before, but which vanished during assessment, return. And that's a good thing that they now have recovered confidence because they're about to get them all back again the second we start a run. Frankly, that is the aspect of a PC right up to that point. You can expect that. All right, now during the first assessed run, we can expect the PC during the first part of the run quite ordinarily. It all depends on a long run. If a person's been running the terminal before the first level, flattening of the first level is pretty easy. They don't mind this too much. Or they mind it terribly, or it could be quite variable. But ordinarily, your first run, the PC is willing to sit there and take what comes and so forth. And you run the second level, and this is in a fresh PC that had never run the terminal before, and you get it. Well, they sit there, and the next one, I'm sure about all these somatics. Is this quite right? This couldn't be right, because he never had this many more somatics before. And they're sort of used to the somatics which they have, you see, which is a severe pain across the throat and a hollow feeling in the stomach. That is life. How do you feel? Well, I feel a severe pain across the throat and a hollow feeling in the stomach. They would have told anybody this for years. And now all of a sudden their best friends are gone. They have a horrible pain in the middle of their back and their right leg feels paralyzed. This hollow feeling in the middle of their stomach has become much more hollow, and their throat isn't there. And this is a totally unfamiliar view. Well, what's happened to them is the goal's problem mass is moving in. You have whistled it up, and you've said, well, all the way, come on. And it's moved on in. Actually, it hasn't moved at all, but their perception of it has changed. And they finally will focus on it, and when they... If it isn't a correct terminal, they never get the goal's modifier terminal inside their own body. It's out there someplace. But eventually, after 2, 3, 4, 5 levels have been run, certainly by that time, they should perceive that they have been living in a double house. And that where they stand, something else has always stood. And where the body is, something else has always been there. Well, the somatics that they get at this particular stage of the game are very changeable, they're very harsh, they're very upsetting, and they go clear around to the back of the head. They make them feel like the back of their head's going to fall off. Actually, they're frankly not too worried, but they sure hurt. They don't like this particularly. They're liable to complain, and you're liable to believe that something is wrong. Yes, there's something wrong if that doesn't happen. There's something wrong with your 3D if that doesn't happen, because that is routine. All right, now what's the routine behavior of flattening a level? Somewhere from, all depends on how strong a level you found off the auxiliary pre-half scale. And it might even, you might even get a stuck TA with only two or three commands. And then it takes you the rest of the bracket, and by the end of the bracket, it's obvious that the needle has been still for half of the bracket. Well, that's getting too tough. That's awful still. That's awful stuck. But normally, the tone arm, if the assessment is proper, can be expected to go up and stick. And then the needle sticks. First the tone arm sticks, and then the needle shows a little driftiness, and then the needle sticks too. When you're first running across these runs, that needle can stop with a clank. You can almost hear it clank. It is just not about to move any place. It is in brass. After a while on later runs, you'll find it just sits there. It doesn't necessarily sit there at screaming attention. But it's still stuck, and it's still stopped. Now, you can expect then on this first level for the tone arm to go up and the needle to stick. And that happens. And when that happens, you don't overrun that. You do another assessment. And between them, if you had the right havingness, and if everything is going well, and the rudiments are in, and so forth, the person should come down off of that before you run your second run. It doesn't matter much if they don't, but they actually should come down off of that. You should be able to get them down off of that just by virtue of their not running it for a few minutes. And you run the second level, and it goes up and sticks. The tone arm sticks, and the needle sticks. Both of these things stick. And they stick very solidly, and you don't want to overrun that too far because assessment will be very difficult to do. So you come off of that, and you do it again, and it just keeps happening. Up goes the tone arm and sticks, and the needle sticks, and that is all that happens. And you go on, and you run level after level after level after level, and that's what happens on every one of the levels. And the PC somatics, however, abate after a while. They get less severe after you run four or five levels. Why, PC somatics are getting used to them. There's still sticky masses inside of him. The mass picture hasn't changed and so forth. Now, during this early run, and even very late in the runs, you cannot expect the PC to get clean, clear pictures. There, everything is fuzzy. He won't even see probably a picture of the terminal until you have run something, if you count running a level as also rerunning a level, until you've had about 20 runs on levels, he may not even get a dub-in picture of the terminal. He'll eventually collide with a dub-in picture of the terminal in some phase or another. This may puzzle the PC, but of course he is it. How can he see himself? The pictures are all smashed in on him, and they're all fuzzy and mucked up, and they aren't really engrams. They aren't really pictures. They shouldn't be in 3D. They probably aren't in color. There's probably nothing very startling about them. He gets impressions of them. It's a sort of a, there's a picture over there, way over to the right someplace, and he gets something about that. There's a steady picture that's liable to occur and recur out in front of him that he can't quite make out. Black ridges occur inside of his head and around him, and he's not sure what these things all are. And that's quite ordinary, quite routine, nothing to that. If he had a clean track, he would have been able to inspect it, and he wouldn't be there. And he wouldn't be in that condition, obviously. So, all right, now, what is the, that's one of these aspects, that the needle goes up and sticks, and the tone arm goes up and sticks, the needle sticks, and that the PC has no pictures. Now, after you've run 10 or 12 levels, or something of that order, you should rerun all of your levels. You just take them up in sequence from the earliest level through and rerun them. Frankly, you should rerun them by assessment, but it's not the same kind of assessment that you do on the pre-half scale. You just mention, you take the first level and you mention it. You don't get any needle reaction, so you take the second level and you mention it. And you get a needle reaction, so you run that level on its same original commands again. And you'll find there's little tone arm motion left in it, and it goes up and sticks. And as soon as it goes up and sticks, and you're sure everything is good and stuck, for a few commands and so forth. You come off of the thing and you mention the third level to the PC. And that, of course, nothing on that. You mention the fourth level to him. There's nothing on that. So you mention the fifth level to him, whatever it was, and you get a tick or a sudden stick. All right, you rerun that level. You rerun it again. And so you go over these things. But actually, you go over all of them a third time, just the same way, before you go on up above, certainly above the level of 10 or 12. Before you find 10 or 12 levels, just get all of the early ones cleaned up by passing over it at least three times on this assessment basis that I've just talked to you about. Now, the PC during this time has not lost the mass. The mass is still observable. It is much lighter. By the time you've done the second or third run, you will find, you know, across those levels, and before you're ready to do new prehab assessments, you will find that the PC isn't really bothered by these things, except occasionally to get a sharp pain, or suddenly be sitting there thinking about nothing in particular, or somebody will be talking to them and their op terminal gets mentioned or something like this, and they feel sort of a, they feel kind of winds of space hit them for a minute, or they have a hell of a pain in the back of their head, or their chest will start acting up suddenly, and then they forget about it and so on. It actually isn't too uncomfortable to them. It's probably sharper, but actually not as bad as some of the illnesses they have had. Now, they're liable to believe during this period that they're going to get sick. That is to say, they're liable to throw up, they're liable to get very thing, or they're liable to develop a fever, or they do develop a fever between sessions. But their sicknesses for the trilenia have all come out of this Gold's problem mass. How do you expect this person to do otherwise than react to it? As a matter of fact, I did the anatomy of how a thetan feels pain, and they actually feel it through a Gold's problem mass. You have to have a valence in order to, for a thetan to have the sensation of extreme pain. You have to have a double-rooted whizzle to collide with a whatnot. You know, you have to have two things colliding, and he believes he isn't one of them, believes he is the other one, and you get that, and then these two things will come together, and then you get the pain register. What you're doing is pushing the PC beyond the borderlines of extreme pain. He will not be able to feel extreme pain when you figure, when you get one of these things flat. All right, and of course that's very bad news to a PC who is so overwhelmed that he thinks pain is delicious. Anyway, along about the third run, something like that, or sometime during that period, a PC is liable to suddenly develop the symptoms which used to tell him he was going to get sick, and this will worry him. Well, I'll give you an idea. The person gets a bad throat. Bad throat. And they knew at one time or another that when their throat felt that way, that they were coming down with a sore throat, and tomorrow it was going to be worse. Well, frankly, this was the somatic in the Gold's problem mass, which when it moved its few inches further on to the rest of that particular engram was the sickness which they used to suffer from. See? And you've caught them at this point, which is the warning point. And they've always used this as a warning point. They got so they noticed that when their throat got dry, they then went on and got sick. What they didn't realize is what was making their throat dry was always what, also what was making them sick, and it was simply a cycling through an incident of some kind or another which was totally flatly worn on the body. So they get this, and it gives them an idea they're going to be ill. And they go around thinking they're going to be ill. And they don't get ill. It's very puzzling. And it upsets their considerations with regard to these things, because life has been pockmarked and predicted by these various sensations. And their map is disappearing, you know. When am I going to feel sick at my stomach? Well, I'm going to feel sick at my stomach when I get this small feeling in the back of my neck. Everybody does, you know. Before you're sick at your stomach, you get this funny feeling in the back of your neck. Or I know something terrible. Here's a more familiar one. I know something terrible is going to happen because I have this terror feeling in the pit of my stomach. And I know that will probably, something bad is going to happen tomorrow. And all of these signals turn on. See, these are superstition signals that the person has used. And of course they wake up in the morning And by God, they've got that terror stomach. They know something bad is going to happen today. It always has happened. In the past, every time they woke up in the morning, you see them felt that way. Well, something bad was going to happen in the rest of the day, that's for sure. So they wake up in the morning, and then their stomach feels bad, so they know something bad is going to happen in the day, and then they get up out of bed, and it disappears. Or they suddenly remember it was the level the auditor was running on them yesterday, which was worry, or something like this, you know, or terror, or something, you see? And it evaporates. They don't mind all this. It's just what's going in and out. Now, as you go on and run prehab levels from that point on, you get a slow gain. The PC is not really going to raise hell with you and not going to complain about lack of progress particularly, but they are going to natter that it doesn't all happen at once. Well, now you're running a problem, and the PC suffers from all of the illusions given to anyone about a problem. A problem is everywhere at once, is hung in an instant of time, and time doesn't move. These are all the illusions given to one by having a problem. One has a hell of a problem, he always knows time is not moving. And he'll talk to you about, why isn't it happening faster, and I wish it could have it happen faster, and this is all just this stuff which is resultant from this, from being up against is the central problem of their whole track, is what you've collided them with a crash, you see. And this runs out slowly. I hate to tell you this, but it runs out slowly. It does not run out rapidly. Because you're running it out on the basis of socking the PC into the problem. You're not taking any chances on this thing going off and getting keyed out and then keying in again in a few years. The best thing to do is throw him in the middle of the whirlpool and get rid of it. What's going to happen here now is that he is not going to notice his improvements. And this could upset an auditor. It's quite common. The PC does not notice his or her own improvements, except on a comm lag. They notice them on a basis of about 3 days or 4 days or something. They suddenly realize they haven't had any trouble sleeping. Well, for years, you see, they've had a lot of trouble sleeping. They can't even spot what this was or why they stopped having trouble sleeping. They just don't have any trouble sleeping now. They go to bed, clonk, you know, and they wake up, thud, you know, and it's just never happened to them, you know. That's fantastic. And this problem about bread and nuts and that sort of thing, well, they're just all set about this and so on. It gradually comes over them as they're sitting there, they're eating this great big steak and they're chomping into it, you know. Slop, slop, slurp, slurp, you know. Gulp, gulp, gulp. Suddenly comes over, you know, I've never eaten steak before. You know? Or the following day, they suddenly remember that they have never eaten steak before. Something goofy like this goes on. And some of the things that they suffer from get worse. They've always had a bad itching back. Their back has always been itching, and every time they've ever sat in company, you know, I really felt like doing this all the time, you know, but they didn't dare. And so they get this kind of a suffering look on their face. And you'll see them sitting in the auditing chair, and they'll be going, and so forth. And actually, their back will get much, much worse. Much worse. And they itch, 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 itch. They'll complain about it and complain about it. Well, they're headed in forwards into a goal's problem mass, and the last part of them that gets affected is, of course, the rear. That's all there is to that. And it turns on, it turns up and up and up, and it becomes far from unbearable, but they complain about it and complain about it and complain about it, and then one day they come into session, and they're complaining and complaining about their cold feet. And they're complaining and complaining about their cold feet. You say, what's the matter with your back? How was your back today? Oh, well, that was nothing. That was nothing. Pay attention to that. I don't know why I ever worried about that. That's gone. Why are you worried about that? I'm not worried about that. That's their main answer. You'll see them fly up a flight of stairs, taking 3 steps at a time. You'll see, zip, you know, come up to the top, and then fly down the flight of stairs. He's thud, see, and he come down to the bottom, bang. No breath shortage, nothing. Walk along, not panting. He used to go up the stairs four at a time, and then, you know. They don't appreciate your calling this to their attention, though. They say, of course, that's the way I am. Or they explain to you with a perfectly straight face, that if their terminal's a water buck, well, that's the way a water buck is. In their social conversation, they give people long lessons on the subject of this and that, and it's really terribly interesting to listen to. But they are prone to do this. It's terribly interesting, but it's rather interesting to have somebody give you a dissertation on the subject. I must be hell on waiters. That's what I read. This fellow says, well, now you see, even 17th century violins weren't made that way. You've seen these violins. I remember a violin I made one time back there. And that time you can just hear the waiter's neck creak. Well, I don't think they should have come across the sunken road at the Battle of Waterloo. I was down in the middle of it there on a cavalry charger, and it was not comfortable. You see, cavalry chargers had to be very carefully disciplined. here we get the know-how on the subject of the handling and training of cavalry chargers. Or books aren't printed that way in the upper galaxy. They don't print books that way at all. They have electronic beams. You see, I have this big machine. It's very educational. But the person's thinkingness, you would think at this time, is being far more, this is a mistake you could make, is being far more colored by their terminal than it ever has been before. Or that their views are far more colored than they ever have been before. This is not true at all. Their views are much less colored because they know now what they are talking about. And they are very conscious of the fact that while they are talking about that, they are being a water buck. They're very conscious of this fact. And they're also conscious of the limitations of a water buck. And it begins to dawn on a PC about this time that the terminal was a limiter of the things that pretended to extend. In other words, if their terminal was a swimmer, at first they're of the opinion of, that is why I have succeeded. And this lasts quite a while into auditing. Well, I have succeeded as a swimmer because I have a terminal as a swimmer. And then eventually, as they get the thing run, they start remembering all the races they've lost, you see, all the swimming races they've lost. And they find out they've lost practically nothing but swimming races. And then they suddenly realize that in order to be a successful swimmer, they'd have to get rid of this cotton-picking terminal. That would be the way to be a successful swimmer. In other words, the terminal appears to be valuable up through a certain strata, and then the PC all of a sudden starts to fly on his own and realizes that the terminal itself is a limiter of ability. And that the PC realizes eventually that he has these abilities himself, and the terminal never had any abilities, but all the terminal did was specially channel the abilities in such a way as to make the PC relatively ineffective in executing these abilities, that's all. For instance, if we had somebody who was had a terminal of gigolo, you know, we find out he's been a dreadfully bad gigolo, terrible gigolo, you know. Never ask an old lady for a sou if he could possibly get out from under it, you know. And he just never really was a good gigolo. And we get him all straightened up, and he goes out and chucks an old lady under the chin, and she at once reaches into her purse for the 100-franc note, you see. Pang, you know, I mean, just like that. He's gotten rid of the terminal. You see, it was in his ability to be a gigolo. But as long as he was being a gigolo on a dramatizing basis, of course, he never could be a gigolo. Not really. He couldn't be a good gigolo. It's very interesting. There's a certain sense of freedom then begins to emerge, and that actually begins to emerge somewhere toward the end of about the third rerun of the first 12 levels. And the person starts coming out of this feeling of, I'm good because I was a... They don't come out of it very thoroughly, and they sometimes very wisely realize that it was because they were probably pretty well educated at one time or another into being A that they have so much data on the subject, and they begin to realize that they are data-wise. Now, I told you one time that if you cleared a cannibal, you'd have a cleared cannibal, right? Used to say that fairly often. Now, the truth of the matter is, we have exceeded this definition of clear with a dynamic clear, and this is where we're going and why we're going in that particular direction. If you clear a cannibal, you no longer have a cannibal today. And furthermore, this person will also be able to learn to do something else, or will resurrect the data which enables him to practice something else and so forth at the same time, while not depriving him of the ability to dine succulently on human flesh. But he doesn't have to do it anymore. And he also has sense enough to realize, as he looks around the civilized community, that hardly anybody in there is eating any bodies. So it isn't done here, so he doesn't do it. And he wouldn't do it until he got someplace where it was socially acceptable again, you see? In other words, you have judgment on the subject. Now, what crime is action without inspection. And this is what you've restored, and you restored it fully. Action without inspection. A person will begin to realize why he's holding himself down while running these things, too. Some of the most unlikely cognitions will start turning up. He's holding himself back so that he won't cannibalize. He has to have all these things. He doesn't dare move out around the grounds for fear he might start dining on human flesh. You know? Because he's got reprehensible. Not all terminals are considered to be reprehensible, but there is not one terminal any PC will ever run that doesn't have its reprehensible side. There are no terminals that are free from all sin. See, it's impossible, because they never would have been a terminal. All right, now let's look back at the review of this, and let's find out that what this was all about. Now, how did the PC get into this mess in the first place? Well, he objected to the activities of the terminal. So he attacked the terminal, and then he accepted its enemies. He attacked the terminal, interiorized into it, and accepted its enemies. He accepted its enemies before he attacked the terminal. He accepted its enemies after he attacked the terminal. They were both the same enemy. In other words, he chose this thing as something to attack. This was something he objected to in the society at large. So he decided to eradicate it, and he got enough overts on it, and they were most failed overts and failed withholds. And while attacking it, he lost often enough, and he finally became this thing. And now, ever since, he's trying to get rid of it because, of course, he hates it. So therefore, people commit suicide, cut their own throats, fix themselves up with unsuccessful lives. Of course, they're still trying to get rid of this terminal. All right. Now, the individual's freedom, of course, is tremendously restricted as long as it is totally patterned upon the terminal and its opposition. Because the individual continued to go to the opposition to eradicate himself as a terminal. And so we get this weird explanation of human behavior. You continue to do this always. Explains human behavior. That's why they behave this way. All right. The individual, as he comes up the line, then improves on runs very gradiently. He improves gradually. He doesn't improve suddenly, flashily. And it would be a bad thing if he did improve flashily. He wouldn't know himself from day to day. But he starts straightening out, and you can be very, very disinterested from a professional viewpoint if suddenly some pet somatic of his, oh, you've run now, you've run 12 levels three times through, you've gotten all of those flat, and the PC is still sitting there with one of his favorite chronic somatics. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. These things go away slowly. They don't go away rapidly. Now, a PC can run level after level after level without a single cognition. And it's sort of like he'll get several cognitions running his first level or his second level. He may. And then he may run several levels without any cognitions whatsoever. Just grind, 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 grind. He may get the same problem over and over and over and over. He may get the same circumstances over and over and over. He may get the same scene over and over and over and over. It doesn't matter a bit. You just keep running it. We don't care what he's getting. And it doesn't matter at all. Because all of this thing will shake out sooner or later, and then he'll spend a session and he'll just have cognitions, and is that what that's all about? Or late in the evening, he was sitting down taking his socks off, and an hour later, he's still poised there with one sock halfway off, you know? Whole string of cognitions have suddenly cut loose and started going off like skyrockets, you know? Then he'll try to take up the whole next session, give you the cognitions he had the night before. Well, you want to fix him up with new cognitions, not review old ones. But anyway, there's your expectancy at this particular stage of the game. And if a case does these things, this is a poor show. Case runs nice, big, beautiful 3D pictures, doesn't get into anything for three or four sessions, gets into nothing, gets into this lifetime only, doesn't really tangle with anything, and the tone arm does not go up, and the tone arm and nothing sticks, and so forth. Well, you just got a lousy 3D combination, that's all. It's just bum. But if the tone arm goes up and sticks, and the PC seems to be alert, and the PC to you looks better, and the PC looks less like they're being smashed against the wall, the chances are that you're running the right terminal, you see, and that you're running the right op-term, and that the 3D is okay, and everything is fine, it's going along, providing the tone arm goes up and sticks, and the PC has collided with a mass, and so on. All these things are the expected things. Now, you could have an op term slightly off and have a PC run oddly. If you run the opposition terminal as the PC's terminal, it's going to be odd, all right. It's going to practically blow the PC's head off. The PC is just going to sit there, and there's more and more pressure on the front and less happening about it. You've got them in the ranks of the enemy. But that they get pressure is a foregone conclusion. They will get this running their right terminal, you see. But I'm talking about if they get blown in on. Everything's blowing at them, you know, and their face is sort of disappearing, and their chest starts disappearing, and that's running the wrong side of it. If more levels start going alive, that's why you must keep up your 3D forms, and you must keep up these 3D forms. List your levels, and every time you do an assessment on the pre-AV scale, put down after it on the 3D form over there, anger, 27 alive. See? You come back to it next assessment. You're thinking about other things, you see? And you put down jeopardize, 37 alive. Well, that's very dangerous, all right. And then you run another level and you put down hate, 76 alive. Well, it's about time to put the PC on the plane to St. Hill or something, or be sensible and do another 3D or something of the sort, or look the thing over, inspect it, try to get some more terminals, try to get some more parts, check out what you've got and so forth, because you're running a wrong terminal if that's happening. You're not just on the opposition side of it. You're running a wrong terminal. Well, the op term, I can't quite tell you what goes wrong when an op terminal goes off. You're running the right PC's right terminal, and you've got the wrong opposition terminal. If you have that, the thing is going to go awry, but at this stage of the game, I can't tell you because I haven't observed one. So I wouldn't know. But I don't think the goals problem mass will come up and hit the PC in the face. The goals problem mass will hit the PC in the face if he's on the opposition terminal. So you'll run him into the goals problem mass with a thud, but with far too much in the way of air currents. Things don't get solid to the PC, they get blowy. You know, winds of space. If they're on the right terminal, they get plenty going on in front of them and inside of them, but it's getting solid. It is in the level of solidity, and they have an outflowing aspect. Although they're being smashed in, they still have an outflowing aspect. They sort of feel like, ooh, it's going to, well, it's out there, and I'm here, and so forth. If you want a subjective reality on how it feels, or how it looks to have the op term go, why, as I've told you several times, just repeat the opposition terminal to the PC several times. Just Feces terminal is water buck, opposition terminal tiger. You see. Tiger, 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 tiger. You won't be able to help it. You'll see going back. You say, what'd you feel at that time? I don't know, it's something, you know. And well, something. And it sort of, I don't know, current's moving or something. And then, of course, be kind enough to restore it. Say, water buck, 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 water buck. Well, how's that feel like? Well, it's getting kind of solid. That's right, solid. So it's the high wind versus solidity. And the high wind, of course, is when you're running the opposition terminal. If you ran the PC as the opposition terminal, he can't get into it because he isn't in it. And he'll get a sort of a frantic idea of getting into it. Now, those are some of the things you can expect out of a 3D run. It's very gradual, the improvements, they're not very spectacular. But as far as improvement is concerned, they are much greater than you could expect out of ordinary old-time auditing. They're much greater than this. It's just that the PC is not as vocal about them. They're considerably greater. All right, now let's take another aspect of this situation. And that is, how long would it take? Well, that depends on the accidental combinations of the prehab scale. That depends upon the density of the mass, the ferocity of the situation. That depends upon the auditor. It depends on how well the PC's rudiments stay in, how well the PC's rudiments are put in, and I won't give you any kind of an estimate. I won't give you an estimate. I don't know. It is much too variable. Looks to me like one of these very variable pictures. But I don't think you're going to get anybody in going real clear in 5 hours or 10 hours. I know that won't happen because, of course, you are not now keying them out. You could only get a fast clear with key outs. You could key them out and clear them fast, and they'd register clear. But you're making a different type of clear. And your expectancies of this, of course, are different. But they are not infinite. They're very far from infinite. It's not a worrisome length of time. It's not even a bad length of time. The biggest change your PC will get, just to recapitulate, from the viewpoint of the PC, is, of course, any set check and rudiments in and so forth. He'll think this is quite a change. And then he'll say that the biggest change, and you won't be able to observe much change in the PC, except it's a little more friendly. It's about all. But you will now start to observe a considerable change in the PC at the time you get his 3D parts. When you've got all these wrapped up, there is a great change in the PC. And this is an enormous shift on 3D. And when you run the PC from day to day, you will be able to see the changes in the PC, and the PC won't. Now, it starts out with the PC seeing marvelous changes that you can observe, that is, on sec checking and all that sort of thing. And then it starts in on big changes that you can observe, and the PC definitely observes, and the PC is very excited about, and it's sort of wow or damn it or isn't it horrible, and it doesn't matter what their tone of mind is, you know. But it's change, and they're really getting a shift. They're finding exactly what it's all about, and then after that, you're the one who notices it. You've done just a complete reversal on the situation. The PC's sitting there, and the PC is looking brighter, and the PC is looking healthier, and the PC is looking more active, and you say, "Were you feeling better today?" "No, as a matter of fact, I'm not. I have a pain here in my side here, and so forth. I'm kind of worried about it, you know. PC looks about 5 years younger today than they did yesterday, you know." So it goes into reverse. Look, of course, it is what it is. The changes are what they are. All right. Well, I've tried to give you some kind of a recapitulation of how 3D looks over broad numbers of cases, and what I would look for as being right, and what I'd look for as being wrong. And it might have occurred that some of you, and you already have, by the way, you've all helped me do this one way or the other. I never saw such frantic comments in my life as I've had on subjects. You know. The PC can't get any pictures. The PC just can't get any pictures. I mean, it's just all masses out there. One kind of, well, yes, of course. That's one reaction. Another one is the tone arm just goes up and sticks. I can't make it do another thing. Now, the funny part of it is that I'm giving you these remarks because an auditor apparently gets worried about all the right things. See, the right things about 3D are what the auditor gets worried about 3D, and it's the tone arm going up and sticking. And the PC can't get any pictures, and black masses and terrible somatics inside the body, and the feeling like the PC is going no place. Nothing is happening of any kind whatsoever in the PC. Well, something is happening, but it feels like they're going no place to the auditor. The auditor says the PC is always complaining about somatics and so forth. The auditor never thinks to ask the PC, are these somatics different than the somatics you had yesterday? Well, the PC says, somatics I had yesterday, see. Oh, yes, quite different. They're different than the somatics I had this noon, as a matter of fact. Matter of fact, they're different than the somatics I had at the beginning of the session. As a matter of fact, they're gone. Matter of fact, they're much worse at this particular moment that we've been talking about them. So you're looking at a giddy change rate here. And an auditor's expectancy is geared up to very slow shift of somatics or something of this sort of thing. You'll see the way it goes. If the 3D is wrong, why, you will be able to tell it from the winds of space phenomena, which I keep describing it to you. You see, the reason I call it the winds of space is because, of course, there is no air there to blow, and there isn't anything to have any current except maybe electronic flows. Only these electronic flows probably don't exist, so they must come from someplace else. And of course, out in outer space, there are no winds. So there are no winds there, and yet there are winds there. The PC can feel them. The other thing that would be very dangerous is levels living up. But if you're doing an accurate assessment, you're doing a very, very accurate assessment each time, of course, you wouldn't even make a mistake on this. And if levels are living up, that is a dangerous symptom. It isn't that you should come off of 3D. It isn't that you should do this or that or do something desperate or fantastic or something like this. What you should do about it is just check the thing over and find out if anything's wrong with this, and find out if the levels still react, and find out some little odds and ends about all this 3D. See, that's all you're interested in. And then you're satisfied that the thing is right. Run another level. Find out if that one came alive. Maybe that one will die out. Maybe many less levels alive. Maybe you're going across some kind of a peak. Maybe the PC wasn't quite doing your auditing commands. Maybe the rudiments were out. You see, there's a lot of odd, obvious auditing errors could have been occurring that might elsewhere have accounted for it. It's still a dangerous symptom. The PC can't somehow come to grips with a Gold's problem mass, and yet the PC seems to be running their own terminal. I would probably suspect the op term as being off, and I'd reassess for an op term. You know, get another op term. You might have gotten an op term that was almost it and would last for a little while, see? But it wasn't quite right. I normally can see these things a mile off, because if it doesn't add up to me that there'd be a conflict there, I know it isn't enough for a person to have spent a trillennia in agony over it. You see, you wouldn't have a canary bird and you wouldn't have a canary... You'd have a canary bird and a cat. Yeah, you could figure that natural game. All right, but you wouldn't have a canary bird and old boots.
Old boots? Canary bird. No.
You might have an incident where a canary bird got caught in some boots, but I don't think it happened very often. That's not the kind of game we're shooting these days, old boots. And I wouldn't throw the assessment or suggest anything to PC. I just work it over here. What's right? What are we sure is right? All right, let's take that point of departure, and then let's reassess and check everything there, making sure the old item is also on the list, and we use the old list and so forth. Let's just do a rapid check on it and see if we come out with something else this time. Ah, there was something else showed up, and something else all of a sudden was going bing, bing, and that looks much better now. and then it'll settle down and run as pattern. But what is a pattern run? Well, I've just described it to you in this lecture. Gruesome as it is, that is a pattern run. Heavy masses, heavy valences, hidden bodies inside of bodies, aches, pains, and somatics, PC acting like they're on wire. There's one phenomenon I haven't mentioned to you. After the first few runs, you'll get this. You'll be trying to make things stick, and then the PC will twitch their elbow or lean back in the chair, and you get a blowdown. After this thing gets freed up, after a 3D level sticks, it more and more rapidly goes free. It won't stay there. It won't stay stuck. Sometimes it stays a bit stuck, but mostly it'll get more and more impermanent. In other words, your stuck is up there, and the needle is stuck, and it was for sure a stick. And 3 days ago, this would have been like a truck running into a wall, you see, but it's real stuck, and there's no doubt about that. And then the PC takes his attention or her attention off of the thing and puts down the cans, picks up the cans, and is reading a clear read. They're reading at 4.5. Now they're reading a clear read. It just comes down rapidly. That sort of thing should increase. If it isn't increasing, you're running with the rudiments out. If the stuck TA is not more rapidly coming down and returning to clear read more rapidly and more rapidly, and you say, why am I introducing clear read? Well, it starts to go down to clear read and stay there, except when you audit the goal's problem mass. If this isn't happening more easily and more rapidly, the more you audit, I would suspect you're auditing with the rudiments out, and that there are a lot of levels that you've covered that haven't been cleaned up. Or there were auditing levels back there that the PC couldn't answer and never told you about. Or there was something goofed up here in the auditing itself. Not in the assessment. There's something goofed up in the auditing. Okay? Well, I hope that's been of some assistance to you. And those of you who have not been over this ground are under no obligation to follow this exact pattern. Thank you very much.